CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and today in the booth with us we have Lennox Fool's Wei Lynch. Very exciting. He wrote the play. It's called Down the Road with Dutch Mason, and it's going to be playing at the Turner Studio, and that's on the campus of Bishop's University. And it's starting on Tuesday, June 6th, running to the 11th, and I guess it's going to the Piggery, I just heard, on the 14th of June. So welcome, Wade.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Now, would you like to tell us about the play, what it's about?
Well, the play is a biographical treatment of the actual life story of Dutch Mason, mm-hmm. who was called the Prime Minister of the Blues. He was one of the most prolific and high-profile blues performers in Canada. He had a remarkable life. It's an unlikely sort of story. He came sort of from nothing in rural Nova Scotia to the pinnacle of fame as a blues musician in Canada, which is predominantly in the sort of venue for black entertainers. But he was sort of the only, he says in the play and in the book that the play's based on, that he was the only white guy in a black man's business. It's a fascinating story with great, great music.
It sounds fascinating. Now, you wrote the play. You're also an actor, a playwright, mm-hmm. and you're the former associate artistic director of the Charlottetown Festival. So you have a lot of experience,
yeah.
and we're lucky to have you. So how did you come about to write the play?
Well, as you said, I was with Charlottetown for many years, actually. I'm going back to Charlottetown for my 23rd season, but mm-hmm. I was there as the associate for 8 years, and while there, the authors of this book approached the Charlottetown Festival and said, would you ever consider a treatment? And of course, because it's a maritime-based story, we said, mm-hmm. of course. So I started working on a treatment of the book before I resigned to finish my degree. And the more I got into it, the more people sort of hopped on board. So when we started to workshop this, which was last year with the Charlottetown Festival, we brought more people on board and brought a professional dramaturge, and it's grown since then. And when I talked to one of the profs at Bishop's this past winter, he sort of said, well, what did you do this summer? And I said, well, funny you should ask, but I did this treatment. And he said, that sounds like a great project for our music and drama student at Bishop's. Would you consider polishing the project further with a workshop on campus as the spring musical? I thought it sounded great, so you know, fast forward a couple of months and here we are.
Wow, it's quite the project.
It's an amazing project. And of course, what it does is when you write for theater, you try to cut your losses, right? Mm-hmm. So we wrote this play for six people, so that the cast should hold six people, five men and one woman.
Okay.
One woman. But when you have all these incredibly talented students, mm-hmm. you can flush out the whole thing, because in the Charlottetown version, all the actors play many roles. But this one, we've got one actor per role. And what it means for our students is that they get to create these characters. So these young actors are building characters that are going to go on to professional treatments down the road. So they are having the time of their life and teaching me more about music than I ever thought I knew, because their comprehension of how the music translates from his career, Dutch's career, was really mid-70s to beginning of the 90s,
mm-hmm.
they all know his music because the blues lives on. And, you know, the blues is the basis for rap music. And
mm-hmm.
so they understand it primally already. We give them an opportunity to, you know, put them into the nightclubs that we create where Dutch Mason played. They're just really into it. They're digging these characters. And they're so aware of the process that they're creating these characters. So they're having a ball. And we benefit.
Oh, it's a great experience for them. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The blues was the beginning for the rap music. That's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've learned a lot too.
My background is musical theater. It's all, you know, okay. Rodgers and Hammerstein and jazz hands. So this has been quite an endeavor for me as well. But boy, every day is fascinating, just
mm-hmm.
fascinating. Because, you know, unlike other styles of music, country or rock or pop,
mm-hmm.
Blues isn't such a big, well-known commodity that you can get wealthy off it. So even though we say that Dutch was the Prime Minister of the Blues, that didn't mean much. It still meant that at the end of his career, he was still hauling his gear in the back of a station wagon from gig to gig to gig. So even though he was well-known in his circles, he never became like a wealthy star. It was always labor for him.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, it was the road that was his ultimate demise, because by the end of his career, he had begun as a guitar player.
Okay.
By the end, he was so crippled with arthritis that he couldn't play. So thank goodness he evolved a voice. And really, his gift to music is the way he interprets lyrically and vocally the songs, the blues. So, you know, but he was still doing that. You think it was a pop singer, you know, if it was Andy Kim, you know, he would be, you know, relaxing in cruise ships, but not Dutch. He had to work every single day of his life.
It's interesting. So he certainly didn't make a fortune out of it, but no. It was his passion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we benefit now. You know, it's funny that the consumption and the purchase of his video, or not videotapes, his recordings is much greater in his death than it was ever in his life. So he now has a legacy for his family that he never enjoyed in his own life. So, you know, his children are benefiting from the sale of his CDs and records now. Mm-hmm. But Dutch never got a taste of that.
That's kind of interesting and sad at the same time. And I guess that's true of a lot of musicians and performers.
Oh, it's true. You know, I did for many, many years, I did a cross-country tour of A Closer Walk with Patsy Cline.
Okay.
And that's the same thing. Patsy was never a wealthy performer. She was never a star until she died.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, really sad, but interesting, too. Okay.
Yeah. And the one thing, you know, I'm making it sound like a sad story, but the one thing that we find out about Dutch is that his greatest weapon in his arsenal to fight the fights in his life was his sense of humor. This man is so funny. And fortunately, the book that we're basing the play on is virtually transcripts of conversations with him. He has the greatest sense of humor. So even though the it's a dark journey, it's sort of buoyed upon this wild sense of humor that this man maintained throughout all of his journey.
And who did you say the book was written by?
It's Harvey Soller.
Okay.
And David Bedford.
Okay.
And David Bedford is an actual fella in the play and in the book. The premise of the story is that Dutch Mason's most favorite harmonica player got ill and couldn't do his last tour.
Okay.
So they had to audition for it. And this fella, who was a philosophy professor from the University of New Brunswick, auditioned and got the job. And this man, who's got a button-down, structured, formal life, sort of hooks up with this circus, because on the road isn't a pretty thing. It's, you know, it's late nights till 5 a.m. and a lot of booze and liquor and women. And this guy, he's a straight arrow, but just love the blues. So his journey is finding out what Dutch is about and what the blues is about. So it's really that you sort of have this innocent voice commenting on this the journey on the road. So it's a great exploration of contrasts.
Really fascinating. Okay. Did you have to get some permission to use the...
Oh, yeah.
I can imagine. Yeah.
Well, fortunately, as I said, I had to base the play on what was in the book. And everything that's in the book has been sanctioned and blessed by the family. I've had to create composite characters, you know, because the play cover is 2 hours and the life is... His career was 40 years, so I've had to, like, invent characters that take care of his managers and promoters and so on. So every time I create a character, I have to make sure with the authors that it's okay with the estate. So it's been a very gentle walk, you know.
Exactly, yeah, you have to be very
And his family, his children are still alive and thriving, and you don't want to make... You don't want to be wrong. You don't want to represent Dutch wrongly, but you still have to create tension, and you still have to imagine situations that aren't explicit because they weren't laid out in the book. You have to invent them. So it's been a real interesting back and forth. So these are real people, and we got to guard their lives and tell the truth.
Exactly. A little bit more tedious than the average play, I guess.
I'm telling you. I had no idea when I started the project about five or six years ago myself. But
5 or 6 years ago? Okay. And this is the first time it's going to go...
Have any public,
be performed, yeah.
And what's exciting is we know that because we workshopped in Charlottetown last year, they've committed to us, they will do a world premiere of the finished play next year. But the first audiences that are ever going to see this play and hear this music is right here, right at Bishop's.
That's amazing. Very exciting. Any of the family going to make it out? Or
We're not sure yet. Okay. Dutch's son, Garrett Mason, is a fabulous performer. We would love for him to come. He's trying, we understand. And we actually had hoped at one point to get him to play young Dutch Mason in the play. That may happen in the future, but right now it's not.
Okay, interesting. Now, who's in the play? Tell us about some of the performers.
What's so interesting is that, as I say, it's a journey about Dutch's life, but he talks about his life on the road, and he goes back in time. So we actually have two Dutches. So we have the Dutch of today, set when that's played by Jamie Crooks.
Okay, he's one of the professors.
Yes, and you know, he was so reluctant. He was so enthusiastic about this project. And when we said, you know, casting is going to be really hard because we need an older Dutch and a younger Dutch. And we said, Jamie, with your voice and your experience, you'd be the perfect Dutch. We can't imagine anybody else. And he said, I am not going to take any role away from a student. He said, if you have a student that can play that role, then you cast him. But we need it to look, because at one point, the two Dutches pass each other on stage.
Okay.
So we need to have one Dutch who is visibly younger to play young Dutch. And we need someone older. So I said, none of the students in the drama or the music department look like they're a 55-year-old man, Jamie. So, you've got to do it. It took a lot of convincing, but he said yes, finally. And my gosh, he carries the whole show.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be quite something, too, with his experience.
And then the young Dutch is, believe it or not, a business major.
Okay,
but the music minor, Daniel Nadeau.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, he doesn't have to worry about business. As far as I'm concerned, he has got a future in show business. He's like a young Elvis Presley. He's a beautiful voice. He's innately musical, and he's good looking. You know, so it's going to be, with those two leading the whole show, amazing.
That is amazing. Okay. So you said there's five men and one woman?
That's in the play version. And this one, 17 actors.
17 actors.
So we are spoiled. You know, I would never be able to put this play on elsewhere in a commercial theater because we couldn't afford it. You can't make money on 17 actors.
No, exactly.
In a small 200-seat theater, but on six you could. Okay. But, you know, we have this wealth of talented students who come in to contribute, and they pay to be there with tuition. So it's like, this is crazy. I'll never have this much freedom in the theater production for the rest of my life, I don't think.
That's excellent. It's a wonderful experience for them.
Yeah.
How long have you been working on the play itself?
Me, 5 years. Well, I received the book in 2011, I think, and I started reading it then. And then the following year, I started to adapt it.
Okay, and the students for the play?
They've been at it for 5 weeks.
5 weeks, okay. Intensive practicing,
I Intensive, guess. And you know what? I don't know what it is about the contemporary parents, but they're sure raising great kids, because these students are putting more work into 1 week than they have to do in a whole semester with other courses.
Mm-hmm.
We're working 6 days a week, 8 hours a day for 5 weeks. That's a lot of work.
And then, it is, yeah.
And then now, with the few days leading up to production, we're working 12-hour days. But you know what? There's not one who's complaining. They're also enthusiastic. The answer is always yes when we ask them to do things like, can you not only go and emote in this heartbreaking scene, plus sing in harmony? Could you also paint a few props and see if you've got any clothes in the back of your closet, because we need period clothes? So, and the answer is always yes. They're just so into it. You know?
So they're doing a bit of everything, too.
Everything.
Okay.
It's, you know, when I was starting out as a young actor, I did summer stock at universities.
Mm-hmm.
I never worked this hard.
No.
You know? And I always thought we were, you know, always at the end of the week complaining. But boy, but there's no complaints. But I just think that they love what they do. They see the future in it. And we have a wonderful director, I should say, David Ferry, who is a famous Canadian actor.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a great dramaturge and co-director. He said from day one of the rehearsal, we are going to treat you like professionals, and we just ask that in return. And they have bought into that philosophy. And so we treat them just like we would with equity actors. You know, we expect them to be on time.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say be off book, have everything memorized by Tuesday, it's done. They're just so into it. But one thing we did do was we auditioned every one of them. So you can sign up for the course, but there's no guarantee you'll get into the show. So these young people had to not fight, but they were aware that they were competing for these roles. And so we said, come to the auditions with two songs that you know backwards.
Okay.
Bring a contemporary Canadian monologue, and we're going to direct you. And every single one of them rose to the occasion. They were just, they wanted it so badly to be a part of this project. They've committed so completely. It's, you know, every day at the exhausted end of the day, I'm going, did that really happen? Did those kids just stay 18 hours and they're still going at it and saying, what time do you want us to come tomorrow? It's just like, it's a little bit of a love fest, you know?
It is. It's amazing, but it's a wonderful philosophy that you've given them. Okay, great. So that starts on Tuesday, June 6th at the Turner Theater. That's on the campus of Bishop's University. And you said you're going to the Piggery on June 14th. So if you happen to miss it at the Turner Studio, you can go to the Piggery, or, you know, why not go to both?
I love that. I don't see why not going to both. Oh, and we should say, too, that for the productions, the shows at the Turner, we're also opening the doors an hour ahead of showtime.
Mm-hmm.
We've built what we're calling the Turner Tavern. Tavern.
Okay.
So it's going to be a bar. You can sell beer there. And we're going to jam. We're going to have a blues jam so that other students who don't get to sing as much in the show can sing before the show. So
okay.
I'm going to throw the door open and come by and have listen to great blues tunes and then watch a great play.
And how much is it? The door's open, you say, an hour before, but what time is the play?
It plays at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, okay. And the door's open an hour before.
Yeah.
And do you know the cost of the play? Or?
Student tickets are 15.
Okay.
Adults are 25.
Mm-hmm.
Seniors are 22.
Oh, nice. Okay, there's something for the students and a special price for the senior citizens.
Absolutely.
Too. That's great. Over 65 or 50, is it?
We'll say 55.
Okay, 55. That's good. That's good. So was it hard to audition the students? Was it hard to pick them out?
It was. We were an embarrassment of riches, really. And we don't have as many roles for females.
Okay.
Obviously, because the blues is kind of male-driven. Mm-hmm. And he was always, there was always men in the band. So we had more roles for the boys, but the women had fewer, but they worked harder, you know. And in fact, we, based on, I won't embarrass a woman by saying who she is, we auditioned an actor, a woman actor who was so good, we decided to write a role for her because there wasn't really one that fitted her look or her voice.
Nice.
But we thought, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
And when you find somebody like that, it always services the play better. And then we found that by creating this other character, it was another perspective on his journey. So it was so nice to have another set of eyes watching Dutch's journey and commenting on it and reacting to it. Because one thing that the book asks but doesn't answer is, what made him tick? What was the essence of Dutch Mason? Why did he do the things he did? The book doesn't answer it. In fact, the concluding paragraph says, I never did figure out who Dutch Mason really was.
Mm-hmm.
But as theater makers, we have to provide a complete story. There has to be a beginning, a middle, and a lovely conclusion. So by having these other perspectives, we build our own conclusions. And at least we provide an end to the sentence, and then the audience can figure out what really happened. So these other voices that comment on his journey really make it rich theatrically.
That's really fascinating. Sounds like you've done an excellent job along with all
the
students.
It truly is a group effort. It's a group that's come together, loves what they're doing, and are working really hard to make the best show possible.
Good. So if you want some tickets, I guess you can contact Centennial Theatre, www.centennialtheatre.ca. The box office number is 819-822-9692. You can email them also, and Bishop's University, 2600 College Street in Sherbrooke in the borough of Lenoxville.
Right.
Well, thank you very much.
So thanks so much for this.
Anything else you'd like to add before we go?
Just if you don't know the blues, this is your chance to know it and to love it. And you'll be surprised. We do 18 songs, 18 terrific tunes. There are more blues songs that you know that you don't think you know. Classic Billie Holiday.
Okay.
It's just, and his, I mean, Dutch only wrote two of his original songs,
mm-hmm.
so he's a master of interpreting the blues. So all those great big Dust My Broom and Caledonia, the big, big blues songs, they're all there.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks very much
thank
and
you,
all
Maria.
The best on the play.
Thank you.